May the Savior make us increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as Christ abounds in love for us. Please be seated. This week, a colleague and dear friend flew in to St. Louis to visit with me and my family, reigniting a tradition of joining us for Thanksgiving that lasted the 8 years we shared in a lively, inspiring, and deeply engaged ministry together with God's people in the place that we serve together, and in which we found the Spirit at work in life-giving ways. So I took a needed break from Wednesday to Saturday morning to do the shopping, to help cook, chat, reminisce, catch up, find that spark alive in us still, bringing new hope to my being. Now I admit I watched her make the pies from scratch that she brought every year because my gifts lie in the gathering of the supplies. I'm deeply grateful for the time of restoration, conversation, gathering, and upholding one another on our current journeys. I'm grateful for God's giving us to one another in ministry and in life itself. As I drove to the airport yesterday morning for her journey home, I pondered aloud with her some of my brooding thoughts, thoughts that had been percolating as I anticipated my sermon process in a shortened time frame and our entry into these Advent spaces. At first, I talked, while I sang, of my own need in these days of seemingly endless pandemic tide. I need a little Christmas just this very minute. I need a little Christmas now. I confess that I began a week ago to listen to King's College Choir lessons and carols and Christmas recordings on my daily walks. I was seeking some uplifting inspiration as we continue in a long season of myriad losses, fears, ever-widening chasms between us of trust and reasoning around politics, vaccines, continuing public and private safeguards, climate and racial reconciliation and justice, escalating gun violence. You know the list. The little Christmas I need isn't the carols playing in the stores after Halloween, or the consumerism that only heightens the injustices and inequities that we have yet to resolve in the ways God created us for and calls us to reconcile. As we drove on to the airport, I admitted to my dear friend that I was not looking forward to the Advent predictions of end times, for it so often feels like we are living in them, with so many of the faithful questioning the presence, if not even the existence, of a loving, present, reconciling God. As we discussed these ponderings of my tired heart, my eye caught the word God on a billboard to the left. So I turned and looked, and it said, "Love God, repent." Well, if there was ever a sign. As soon as I arrived home, I reread the scriptures for today and the reflections and commentaries I had deliberated over earlier last week. And I realized that my deliberations then had been cursory. My head was filled with shopping lists, appointments, bulletins to be completed early, glad anticipation of my friend's arrival, and my own hospitality expectations. My head was already quite overfull when I prepared earlier in the week. When I went back to the scriptures, this time I prayed them, and I found that hope, that little Christmas I was looking for. So as with the well-known prophet, the Grinch, on Christmas, listening to the joyous singing of the Who's down in Whoville, I remembered that Advent means a little bit more. The days are surely coming. With these five words, the prophet Jeremiah opens his testimony to God as keeper of the promises. The days are surely coming. With those five words, we enter the season of Advent. The days are surely coming is not some scriptural reference to the unstoppable march of shopping days to the 25th of December, when ready or not, the holiday arrives, writes John Indermark, writer and retired UCC pastor. The same march of days that sometimes drains us rather than empowers us for the incarnation of God, who is at once coming and already among us. The days are surely coming points instead to the time when God's promises will be kept. Christmas serves as both sign and foretaste of that keeping. The days are surely coming declares that the realm of the future is ultimately the realm of God then and here and now. And Advent? Advent offers a season of preparations for the God who comes, in the child of Bethlehem and the Savior at history's end, in our call to love justice and walk humbly with our God now. Advent proclaims the days are surely coming, not out of a sense of fearful dread for what looms seemingly out of our control, or from an apathetic observance of the same old year in and year out. Advent proclaims the hope that history moves toward the goal whose name is redemption. The short passage we have from Jeremiah for this first Sunday of Advent in year C is the conclusion of a collection of messages that articulate the prophet's eschatological vision. That vision that comes from a branch of theology concerned with the final events in the history of humankind. Jeremiah's eschatological vision encompasses judgment, return, and restoration. The passage preceding today's presents a terrifying description of the destruction to come. Our passage today concludes a collection of prophetic messages generally referred to as the Book of Comfort. This book looks forward to God's restoration of the land and the people. As Daniel Hawk writes in his commentary on this passage from Jeremiah, the Book of Comfort as a whole strikes a note of hope against the pall of disaster, despair, and divine wrath that makes up so much of Jeremiah. The oracles and messages within it declare that destruction and wrath, no matter how utter and complete, are not the Lord's last word. Rather, the catastrophic present must be seen as a pulling down and a plucking up, necessary for a building up and planting that will remake the landscape. Jeremiah 33:14 through 16 declares that the remaking will be the Lord's work through the Lord's king, a new and permanent king from the branch of David, who will replace the impotent king held captive by the moment. The vision of a future beyond the contemporary horizon calls the people of God to look beyond the present moment, with its violence, disintegration, injustice, oppression, and failed leadership, to look beyond to the restorative and toward which God is moving. So we are called to orient our faith and our ministries within the very context of God's purpose and hope for a beloved community, whereby humanity sees the very love of God in each other and loves each other as God loves us. Each of our scriptures today remind us in different ways that God's day we hope for is surely coming. The promise will be kept. We hear a sense of expectancy in 1 Thessalonians and Paul's eagerness to reunite with those whom he brought to faith. Like Jeremiah, Paul speaks of God's powerful working in the lives of believers to make love abound and to strengthen holy hearts. Luke looks directly toward the leader that Jeremiah speaks about, the branch, the Son of God, the Christ, and exhorts our vigilance in this space between historical now and the future vision of God. The promised one embodies what God most desires, carrying out justice and righteousness for all. The Christian church has seen the prophecy of Jeremiah fulfilled in Jesus Christ. In Advent, the church anticipates the coming Christ, finding in him the reality of God's promises. The Advent promise provides the church, provides us and me, our message and mission. The church proclaims there is a God of hope who has sent God's Son, the righteous one, Jesus Christ. And the promise is that Jesus Christ does what is just and right for all people. He shows us through his own life and witness what living the way of love means in human life, giving us a model to follow. The church's mission is to continue this ministry, lift up our heads, and wait actively enacting God's justice and righteousness in caring for the world and all God's people. As theologian Karl Barth put it, the church community is the earthly historical form of existence of Jesus Christ himself. Advent is a time of hope, when if we follow the leadings of the Holy Spirit and we proclaim the good news of Christ's reign of justice, reconciliation, hope, and love in every age to every people. The prayer in 1 Thessalonians goes to the heart of our Christian identity and the community that we're called to build. May the Lord make you abound in love for one another and for all. In this prayer, Paul and his companions remind us that the love that creates community is not simply for the sake of the privileged or the in-group. The prayer is that we will abound in love for all, showing love and compassion and care and respect the dignity of all. The beloved community of God is one that abounds and overflows with love. A place where justice reigns, and a table of fellowship that's always being added to, always growing to include everyone. All God's beautifully diverse beloved ones. Cynthia Campbell writes, "In Advent, we are reminded especially that we live in in-between times. Christ has surely come and has brought to us a witness to that life transformed by love and deep care that we are called to continually plant in the soil of life in this world. We also have in Christ the promise of eternal life, yet the transformation is not complete. Both we and the whole creation long to see God's promise fulfilled. We yearn for justice that rolls down like mighty waters. We hope that one day the wolf will lie down with the lamb and the swords will become plowshares. We long for the day when mourning and crying and pain will be no more. We already know what God's future looks like. And in beloved community with one another, we continue to look for the signs of God's reign in Christ all around us, even as we plant seeds of love wherever we can. At the beginning of Advent, when the world's grimness is somehow startled by new expectancy and hope, we're invited to take a fresh look at the ongoing work in progress that we in fact are. We are that ongoing work of progress. We're urged to consider who we are at our best. People of God who at their best are joyful, prayerful, generous, loving, giving, courageous, and profound pronouncements in action, even embodiments of what the realm of God's reign of justice, hope, and love looks like. Very early this morning, I read today's Advent word to us, which was written by our presiding bishop, Michael Curry. And he ended his reflections for this first Sunday of Advent with these thoughts. As a prophet and bridge builder in South Africa, both during the wicked time of apartheid and in the years since, Archbishop Desmond Tutu has said, "Your ordinary acts of love and hope point to the extraordinary promise that every human life is of inestimable value." Through our small and seemingly insignificant acts of kindness and care every day, we commit ourselves once more to the promise. By speaking up and standing up for those who are being silenced and pressed down, we proclaim that we refuse to waver in our hope of the promise. The promise of a world that is beloved community is real and true. And we are its ambassadors, heralds of the way of love, for God's sake and for the sake of all God's children. May the Savior make us increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as Christ abounds in love for us. For the days are surely coming, says the Lord.